Settled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Welcome, Kia ora, Salam alaikum, Shalom, Minglava, Amaste, Salamno, greetings to you all, good evening. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to Resettle Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And good to listen to the king of all the reggae, Bob Marley. It's gonna be all right. Yes, everything is gonna be all right. Don't worry. Welcome. This is live from our studio here in Auckland, in New Zealand, and. To our viewers, thank you for tuning in. And if you follow us online, you can get us on the Planet FM and then go to ARCC Audio. Also, you can download and you can share as much as you can, because this is a community radio and it's talking about the views and discussions and the news. Before we go to our discussions today is on the 23rd of May 2020, and we have a special guest in the studio with us here today, and we will talk about a lot of things, mostly about the coronavirus, COVID-19, the lockdown, and all the three stages, you know, level 2, level 3, level 4, and back to level 2, and hopefully we will go to level 1, life to be normal again. Before I welcome Aban, I would like to acknowledge this is studio, the Planet FM, the staff, the technicians, for the recordings they have made, because no one would access the radio during the lockdown. It was done remotely, but, you know, when you record from home, it's not easy. You know, noise from the kids and all the background is not conducive for the radio sometimes, so it's a hard time, and I would like to acknowledge the staff and the technicians for the Planet FM for putting together all the shows for the Reset Radio. So we have been playing along the stories. I hope you enjoy some of the stories, and they are coming in plenty. So this year we will have the second volume of those stories, so we will have new ones. And thank you for, thanks to our viewers for tuning in all this time, you know, during the lockdown. And this radio would not be here without you. It's you who make it a radio, you know, tuning in all the time online and live. We are so thankful to that. And I would like to thank the government of New Zealand, you know, the Prime Minister, for walking us through all the guidelines. What to do, what not to do, because we did not know this is something new. We have never had any coronavirus before. We had a lot of diseases, but not coronavirus. And you would have done something that is not even nice. But, you know, having the directives from the government, and especially from the top, you know, leadership from the government, from the Prime Minister, it's good that you get all the directives, and it's really very good. So, without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest today, special guest, Aban Yor. Aban, to those of you who do not know Aban, Aban is the general manager for ARCC, and it's good to come on live today to talk about, you know, the things we have been doing in the community and the community at large, the grassroots. And it's not a one-man service. It's a collective responsibility. Everyone is on board. You know, the staff, the community leaders, the women groups, the young people, and even the children. It's massive. You know, our friends, our neighbors. It's a lot of work, and I would like to say thank you. So welcome, Aban.
Thank you, Galaxial, for welcoming me. I'm always pleased to be part of your show. And before I just start to answer your hard question today, I think I will take this opportunity to acknowledge, to say thank you to Planet FM to welcoming us and be part of the radio communities, because we felt when we come here, we are at home. So thank you for Planet FM, the staff and the leadership. And this is the community radio was a right meaning for it. Also, thank you for your listening for Planet FM, where the Reset Radio Community Voice has been operated, and your viewers and your listeners. Thank you for listening. I will take this opportunity as well on behalf of the organization and the members under it to say thank you, New Zealand. We have done it. As the song before Bob Marley remind us, we don't need to worry. I think it's really mean a lot to the viewer to listen to the song, because we were worried when the first case of COVID-19 on the 21st of January happened in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I think everyone was really, really afraid, and we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But what is really amazing is that always people learned through the hard times, and the government has been really responsibly taking their role, and collective effort from the government and the New Zealand people to ensure that we unite against COVID-19, regardless to follow the rules. And we learned some things, and even adults, children, and everyone have learned something new during the COVID-19 lockdown, level 4, level 3, and we are in level 2 now. And thank God we're back again talking in the radio. And back to you, Galwa.
You see how the world has changed so fast, Aban. I think during our time, we used to gather in one place, possibly under the tree, and listen to the radio. My favorite radio was BBC, Focus on Africa, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So everybody knows the time. We will come under the tree, one radio for the community, and we will listen to the news. This is how we try to know the world. And now you just, with one click, you know everything. You know, it's so easy, so efficient. It's online. It's, you can listen on live, and every information is available. The world has really changed, you know. And let's go back into it. It's about coronavirus. When it happened, I did not even know the name. I did not even pronounce the name right. You know, I would say corona or corona along the way, and then I tried to know, because it's a new thing. I don't know. You know, is it called? What I do not know is, does it have a name before it happened, or they, you know, they just come with a name with according to one who discovered it? We don't know. Yes. What is, you know, what is your first reaction when you know that there's a coronavirus coming to New Zealand? I know when they talk about coronavirus in China, I say, this is a Chinese thing, it will go away. Like, you know, Zika virus that happened in Brazil, I thought this would be like the same thing. It will happen and it will go away, you know. Oh, now there are some cases in Europe, in Italy, and in America. I say, maybe they will control it. Now, when the first case was discovered in New Zealand, so now I'm thinking deeply. Oh, now it's coming to the doorstep. So I was frightened. I did not know what to do, because a lot of things, you know, when the community is frightened, they talk a lot about things that are not even there. You know, they say once you get it, you know, only two days, 3 days, you're gone. It will kill you. We did not know about quarantine. We did not know about, you know, all those hygienic things. It happened like that. So what was your first reaction when you learn about coronavirus is something real and is, you know, is spreading so fast to so many countries?
I think my first reaction was when it was a graduation ceremony has been done in Mangere Ceremony Center, when I been invited to go and share some of the inside of New Zealand experience for the new arrival to New Zealand. And I have been asked by Dr. Ant from RES New Zealand by saying about things we need to think about how we will be able to respond to coronavirus or COVID-19. Do you have any idea about what your organization have a plan for the community? And I didn't take it serious because it's not really seriously as being taken publicly within New Zealand. Because in back in my mind, what I was thinking is that if there is anything really need to be taken in consideration of the seriousness of the disease, I think the health official, they will be able to mandate the community, and the community will follow the guideline of the official of New Zealand government. And after the event, I left. And then I got a phone call from one of our community members and saying, Aban, do AICC do anything regarding to the COVID-19, which is already is in our show now? What is going to happen? And I said, to be honest with you, I might not have the answer, but confidently, I think New Zealand will handle it, because our government will be in a position to show us the way how we're going to be. And also I've been relying on our New Zealand health system is well for fair. And I'm saying it in the sake of just saying it, but in a detail, I don't have any idea, being honest with you. And since when we have meetings to decide of the activities which is AICC need to deliver to the community, and it come to my attention that many members of the community are very worried. And my idea is that how those people will be calm down regarding to panicking, and how we're going to deal with this, because I know we deal with challenges of family violence or problem in the community as a normal issue, which is we know and we deal with based on what we know, how we deal with it. But when it comes to COVID-19, it's something that's really it over our control. I start worried because the transmission of the question of the community, I start really reflect inside.
It's taking root.
Yes, yeah. And I said, okay, if this, it become real, are things we need to do some things. And it's good we have a meeting on the 6th of March when the leaders come together, and we've been talking about it, and we decided that for now, because the government is still working on it as well, we should hold our old project, which is that have a social contact, need to be held, and since we find a further notice from the government. And then the second week, it become very real. The cases is still climbing within in New Zealand, and the update from the government has become really something need to be taken seriously. And then we've been able to have a meeting as a staff to say, okay, now this is our government giving us advice. How do we protect the community? As a result of that, collectively, staff and volunteer, we say, okay, if it's that, because we don't know who will be coming in our door. You know, our office, always we don't have appointment. Everyone can come on a door. Either they've been overseas or they've been in New Zealand. Then we decided it will be really appropriate to have a precaution of taking 1 week in advance where we will see how the thing going to go. And then we close our office as a staff working remotely to ensure that the community members, they really been protected.
And not only that, too, there were, you know, there was a lot of panic buying.
Yeah,
you know, people go to grocery stores and they buy a lot of goodies.
Yes.
And not only that, they also call people, you better go get there, or otherwise they are finishing. So you go quickly and buy as much as you can, and because if you go tomorrow, you will not get anything.
But the problem was the toilet paper. What the problem was the toilet paper at the time?
Because of the mindset, people think it will take a long time, and people will not go to grocery stores. And people will not, you know, will not get the
things. It was very funny.
Yeah.
My son would say, oh, Dad, I can see it, people in, just they're running about to buy the toilet paper. Do we have enough? And I said, don't worry, we might do it in Africa way. If that become a reality, no way out of it.
So
that is the mindset, and make people realize.
And the good thing also, the government came out very clearly, you know, don't panic.
Yeah.
If we produce anything here and we take it to the rest of the world, so we will not run out of it. Please, don't do that. And, you know, by repetition, repeating it many times, and then the community is trying to get it, and it was really good.
And what make it is really easy for us, I think we translate the messages from the government to our own languages. I think that's what really helped some of our community to calm down. Because the law enforcement, they become part of the COVID-19 government messages out. And our prime minister as well is really genuinely, she been on the everyday update, and the health official as well, they have done really crucial job. And I think I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge those essential workers of New Zealand who make a difference.
Definitely.
Because without them, I think we might be in another page of discussion right now. Because of what they have done and they have achieved to the nation, I think this is something people should be proud of. And we also will pass our condolence to the family who lost their loved one because of the cause of COVID-19, and also at the cause of the death of the families who lost their loved one, who didn't get opportunity to go and pay the last respect to them. I think our heart are going to be with them. It's really, as our Prime Minister said clearly, I think we are in this all together. And playing our part as a country, an individual, to ensure that everyone is safe, I think we played very well. And we have a very positive feedback from the relative overseas, because they received New Zealand outcome of what happened during the COVID. COVID-19 is becoming an example of the success country in the world, and we're pleased of that. And I think every individual New Zealander, you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah, and you know, we'll talk more about it when we come back. You know, the best thing about it, everybody calls from other parts of the world saying, you guys have the best prime minister.
Exactly.
You know, this is very humbling. So let's go for a break. A little music here. Bakusu from, I think from Mali, is talking about the people. It is a force that changed, not the people. Welcome back. You are listening to Rosetta Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. If you have just joined us, thank you for tuning in. And we have been talking about coronavirus and all the feelings and the panic in the community, and you know what comes with it, the lockdowns. All those. So with me in the studio is Ban Yeo, the general manager for ARCC, and one of the big decisions being made in ARCC. So it's the final say, and it's good that you, the listeners, hear from him as far as what we do in ARCC and the big decisions during the lockdown. Welcome back, Aban.
Thank you, good luck.
Some communities, you know, during the lockdown, they were isolated. Some, because of the bubble thing, families were not together. If the lockdown happens today, maybe you have gone to Wellington, so you will stay in Wellington. You don't come back until people come back to level two. And some families do not even have the capacity to connect with one another. And some people do not have, you know, that capacity to feed the kids. You know, they have run out of food, and it's with all this confusion. So the question I would like to ask you, and the thing that the listeners would like to know is what are the steps that ARCC have taken, you know, to respond to those, especially with the food, those who have run out of the food, and those who do not know, you know, what to do. One of the things you have said before about the message, the video message is translated in different languages, you know, not only serve as the awareness or education to the community, but also passing information to the community in a different way. So in the way of responding to the community needs, you know, what is stages or what is steps ARCC has taken to address those needs?
Thank you, Galwak, for your hard question. During the COVID-19, I think repeatedly we might say has been a shock for everyone. But within our case as ARCC, I think we know what is the best for our members, because the first week of the lockdown, I think that the 3 days of the lockdown, it was not easy for everyone to swallow it or to cope with it. And we've been in a conversation with the staff to ensure that how do we keep in connection with the community, and we decided to divide the list of the phone calling, because there are some people who really rely on the phone call, no text. We've been able to really update on the WhatsApp social group, which is ARCC Create. And also, after the 3 week, the first week, we come to the conclusion that hearing from the leaders, we've been in contact with them, is that there is a really a demand within the community. They need a support of food.
Yeah.
At the time, we said, oh, no worry at all. We will be able to connect with Auckland Council. So the Auckland Council, because they were announcing there will be a food bank. So the community in need, they will be able to be given some of those food parcel. So when we reached the 6 days of the lockdown, this is where the messages of the community become strong. And I remember we have a meeting with staff online, because at the time, the first week, we purchased the Zoom online and Skype, so that we will be in contact with the staff. At the time, we've been able to say, okay, now there is a demand in the community, and we prioritize the demand. We have elderly need support, and sole parents need support, and also disabled need support. And those was because they have become a vulnerable members of our community during the lockdown. And the point was, how do we support those people, and we don't have any budget allocated for it? And I think I was in a position to tell staff, just give me some hours and I will come back to you regarding to that, because the answer from the staff was, we don't have a budget and we will not be able to do this. And then afterward, I thought to myself, it's an emergency, and emergency always think done in an emergency way. So I've been able to say, okay, for those already, we have the name, because the good thing is the community leaders, they are really very connected with the grassroots members. We have the name already reached to ARCC. And to return back to them to say we don't have anything while we are waiting for Auckland Council to respond to our request, because it took us days to get response from them. Then in the second week of the lockdown, I think around the 10 days lockdown, I've been able to say, whatever we have, we need to respond for it. And it's not a broken the rules, because the board, they should be in a position to decide what needs to be done. And I decide that we will locate some of the money we have so that we redirect the resources we have to respond to the community need. And positively, we've been able to launch the first package for 38 families for the first week, and then we have 100 and name again is already in our table. I've been in a position to consult with the board, and the board positively, they were saying what you have done is the same what we're supposed to tell you to do.
And also, let me cut you short. I know it was a lot of names flowing in, from different communities. But what was in your mind, like, you know, like the target, you know, how many community members we were targeting for the first response, not knowing that, you know, the need is so high there in the community out there, you know, because it outnumber what we thought it would address the situation.
Yeah.
So we were talking about 20 families, 30 families, maybe?
I think that the question I've been asked by Tina, she was asking me about how many people, because after when we launched, she's the one who's been follow up with the countdown, and also follow up with the family that received the food package. And you remember, because we're having the social distance rules, we are really gratefully thank you for the countdown for the launch of the package of the elderly package, which is we stick with it and we buy for every family with it. That helped us to really to reach to all the families we responded first. To answer your question, we didn't have target number, because why? It's an emergency and we don't know who's going to come in the queue. And the second challenge was when we hear from the community, they have the neighbors who should they don't have anyone close by. Some of them, they've been locked overseas and they can't really have access to it. And also we have the visitors, which is the migrant visitors who come from the Pacific Island and other nations around the world. So when we add that as well category to our list, because we have now three category we add to it, people who lost their job during the COVID-19 from our community and the neighbors, and also the elderly neighbors we have, it doesn't matter what his background is, and also the visitors who come to New Zealand and they've been caught up, even they can't go anywhere, and we get to know through the community who are neighbors to them that they need a food package. And remember when I've been able to, I think I call you to check with the COVID-19 committee to make sure that we're not going to break any rules as being a role model for our community. And also our community services has become essential part of food delivery as well. What is really come to my mind was the kindness which is New Zealand has been alert through the Prime Minister saying, being kind for one another, that give us opportunity to look at everyone equal. We're all New Zealanders. And even for the one of the visitors who come from Fiji, and when we deliver the food parcel, the first week and the second week, because they don't have anyone to supply food to them, they ask a question, what is this? And I went just saying to her, just, you are in New Zealand. You are our visitor, and we need to take care of you. And she looked at me to say, I said, look, don't look at me like someone is strange, but you are in New Zealand and New Zealand is taking care of you. And she would say, oh, I am not really in a position to say anything because I don't have a word to say. And I said, you don't need to say anything. Mm-hmm. So you deserve it because that's the need which is we need to respond to. And when we reach to the level three, I think we've been able to reach to 210 families.
Hmm.
I thought 210 families have 564
family members
in that particular package.
Hmm.
And while we're doing the food parcel, also we have the need of the people who are not really in a position to respond to COVID-19 assistance through the MSD, work and income. And we've been trying also to make sure that we help them to fill online the application in order for them to access the services which is government has been given to them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really very hard work. I know one of the ladies in Wellington says sent a text message by saying she's a single mom, got big family, about seven of them, and she is not even working. She worked before, but with the lockdown, she
lost her job.
She lost her job, and she could not feed that big family. And when we talked about food parcels, she did not get it. She gave the details, the addresses, but I don't know what was in her mind. But when the food was delivered by the countdown, according to her, she said she got two big boxes of food, you know, including veggies and fruits and all the things she needed for the kids and for everybody in the house. And she was like, according to her, she tried to ask for food banks within Wellington, and they refer her to many places. She ended up not getting any food. And now, with the food coming all the way from Auckland, she's like, this is like a big thing to her, you know. And I think there are so many families out there who have the same feeling, you know. It's like what you said before, we did not have enough money, but, you know, whatever little we have, based on the culture we come from, if back home, if I have something and you don't have anything, we share it. I think that's the message behind what was delivered by the Prime Minister. You know, be kind, support one another, and we will get over it. I think this is a very good one. One thing I want to touch on, you know, also our community leaders, they have taken some risk.
Yeah, I think for those leaders who take the risk, I think they play Manaakitanga role very well, for them being kaitiaki for their own communities and their families as well. I think they deserve acknowledgement because without them as well, being a connectors between ARCC and their community members, it will not be possible for us to respond to all those community members. And what was the outcome of this when we reached to level three? And I think one of ARCC's staff is still recovering from the being a busy while people, some of the people are enjoying the lockdown with their families because they've been working day and night and we don't have weekend. You remember, I think we hold a meeting, I think on Saturday or Sunday, we asked, oh, this is weekend. I said, oh, we don't have weekend because
we don't even know the day of the week, whether it's a Sunday or Saturday, we don't even know.
Yeah.
This is all day long. I know some of the community leaders have taken some risks. Some of them went to the airport and received some visitors who came from overseas. And those who came from overseas were quarantined for 14 days. And when they finished from 14 days, so
No one picked them up.
So they have taken that risk. They, you know, it's second-hand information, so they don't even know them very well. So this is a high risk they have taken. It means it has gone to the community, you know, that kindness.
Yeah, I think if you remember, you request that, I think we write a letter to individual leaders who become active with AIRC to have the letter to show to the police or anyone in other law enforcement if they've been caught up helping someone in the community, because some of the community leaders, they don't have enough English. So that letter will explain to the authority that this person is really from AIRCC.
Yeah.
And if there is something happened, they need to call me directly.
Yeah.
So I think we have done that in the case of miscommunication when they stop on the road or something like that, where they are going to help someone in the community.
Yeah.
I think we play that as well very well, and ensuring them that if there is something happened, it's really because they're helping those who are not helping themselves. So we've been in a position to say, okay, this is what we can do to ensure that all the law enforcement, they're having a better understanding. Where you've been caught up, you just show them the letter. It will explain what you've been doing during the lockdown.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Because some of them, you know, they run, you know, from North Shore to South Auckland and crisscrossing. A lot of help. And I hope that spirit will continue. Let's go for a little break, and we have a music from Fadil Shakir. I think he's a Middle Eastern. I think he's from Syria. So we'll be back.
كنت عليه يا حبيبي لو كنت حبيبني قبل وعلى جبت تعبني كلمني حبيبي دي خلصت أنا في كل كلامي ومعايا حتى في أحلامي هعملنا تاني إيه يا حبيبي لو كنت حبيبني Feeling. Ooh, girl, need to kick off your shoes. Gotta take a deep breath, time to fuck.
I've been saving for you. Boss up and change your life. You can have it all, no sacrifice. I know we did you wrong, we can make it right. So go and let it all hang out tonight. Cause we don't love you anymore.
Hello, welcome back. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to Reset Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. This is a live broadcasting. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to those who are following us online. You know, the podcasts are there. You can just download them. You can share them. You can, you know, share them widely with the community, because this is a community communication channel. Thank you. So we have been discussing some of the COVID-19 response with ARCC General Manager Aban. Aban, welcome back.
Thank you, God.
One of the things I have also experienced is not only about coronavirus in New Zealand here, but also overseas. I've been called by so many people, you know, advising them what to do, because this confusion is a global thing. It hits everybody. And they do not know what to do. Some of them, they have issue with the language. They cannot read. I got into a situation where I was sent something to read for them, but it was in Swedish, and I could not read in Swedish, so I had to call one of my friends in Stockholm in Sweden and connect with him to help that family. It was like, you know, coming from a different country and then going to another country. So I wonder whether you have experienced the same thing, you know, and the cultural advice we have been given. Because the worst thing about coronavirus, it did not come itself as a disease. It came with a lot of things, you know, even interfering with people relationships, you know. And I don't know whether you have gone through that too.
I think I have experienced it's a language barrier explaining, because the COVID-19, it come with really very shock to some people, because some of it's a relative overseas, they were saying, oh, the COVID-19, based on the family unit, everyone need to have a distance. Now it's the case of husband and wife.
Yeah.
So they were saying everyone need to stay 2 meter distant or 6 feet. So now we have a problem at home. And I said, what is the problem? And he was saying, oh, you know, the health official, they were saying everyone need to stay 2 meter apart from everyone. And I said, you need really to understand there is something called bubbles. And if it's in your family and you in one bubble, which is means all you guys will interact together. And the COVID-19 should not be a reason for the family separation, you know, because it's become matter. I said, okay, not a problem. You just refer me to your wife, and I will talk. And I have a conversation with our own language, For me to pass it through, I make it as a funny thing so that she will get it from me.
Mm.
And she was saying, actually, I didn't hear it from the official, but I hear it from people in the community. And I said, yeah, that is what is happening. So what they're saying is not you in the one bubble, but the other people in the different bubbles, they will not track with you. So everyone is staying in your place.
Yeah.
So now the country you live in is not locked down yet, and you guys been just given warning to be social distancing has become something need to be enforced. But if you have a lockdown like what we have in New Zealand, it's very important just to stay in your bubbles until the lockdown from the official has been announced, you are allowed to go and mix with other people. When you go for shopping also, there is a guideline for shopping, what to do when you go for shopping.
Mm.
So when I took them through kind of the procedures, which is we learned through New Zealand here, they were saying, which language your country you live in, you speak? And I said, in English. Just say English. And I said, there is an indigenous language called Maori. What about our language? Do you speak with our language there? And I said, okay, I will send you a video. If you remember the ethnic languages we met, the video we met with my family.
Yeah.
I sent it to them and they said, oh, even in the place you are staying, you can speak your language. And I say, yes. And then that is where the all things come down.
Mm.
You know, all the things come down. And thank God they save. And but the thing is still going on in Sudan at the moment. It's really very bad.
Yeah.
We hope that the official as well, they will be able to give assistance in terms of the lockdown, finding the necessary things for them to really to go over this. We are lucky, again, like what I said before, within the New Zealand context, we really lucky society to have people who really care about our well-being and our safety.
In Sudan, it's very funny because they created the rules, and then within those rules, they say there are VIPs not covered by those rules. So there are some exceptions. So the ministers and the MPs, and so they can get out and come back. Even their children. So they did not know they were putting their families at risk. You know?
Yeah.
I know one MP got all the kids, all the adult children, you know, in the family, all the adults in the family got coronavirus. Because he came from UK.
Mm.
Not that from UK. Some came from Italy, they went to UK, and from UK they came to Juba in South Sudan.
Mm.
And there was lockdown already. They say, no, it's
for the official, it's fine.
For the official, it's fine. So brought coronavirus all the way from overseas and then, infected the rest there. The good thing I'm proud of New Zealand is because we have taken through stages. You know, the government has taken us through stages, stage one, stage two, stage three, and you know what to do from this stage to the next. Even before we go to the next stage, they let us know what will happen next. You know,
but what make me really, really proud New Zealander, I think what the government and opposition and other parties was in the parliament, they become a one team. It's they eliminate the politics.
Yeah.
When it comes to responding to COVID-19, I think that's the unity that I'm really proud of, to see that some of the countries learn from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because they have put the politics aside and they respond as a collective government that to really to help the society due to what really coming to us. Because the nature of COVID-19, he don't have you are a politician or you are a child or you are a migrant or you are refugees background or you are New Zealand born and you are white or you're black or you're yellow or whatever color you are. It's not about it. It's about humanity. And that humanity has been put in the context through the government official. I think that's we should really, for those who are in leadership there, they should be able to say we made it collectively, regardless to the differences of the parties.
Mm.
But we all made it as a New Zealanders, and we reached to the point that we can be able to really to manage, although it's still around, by listening and follow the health guideline, I think we will be fine.
Yeah. And also, I would like to encourage those who are able to read and listen to other languages. You know, you can listen from outside New Zealand and see how other countries view New Zealand. We are like a star there. We are like a very bright star. And some of the people I talk to in Europe, in Africa, they say, you guys are lucky to have a very good government taking care of its own people, and you have a very wonderful prime minister. This is not from New Zealand. It's from outside.
Not only that, even the role we play as a community in a grassroots, for those who have connection with their back home, I think sometime our government need to acknowledge that we're playing really double role here by promoting our government, what they're doing for their own people to help other people in overseas when it comes to the COVID-19, for example.
Yeah.
I think we've been making videos, we've been making awareness for other countries based on what we experienced within in New Zealand here. And because of what example the government has given us, I think that's the sharing of New Zealand value to other nations. I think it's made a very positive impact. And that is something need to be considered, because being ethnic background and connect with our homeland, and COVID-19 is a globally, which is connect all people together. I think we play a role as a New Zealanders to aware the other people who need our help. I think we've done that part as well. And there are people outside there, we didn't hear their story yet, but New Zealand has been really playing a very, very important role.
Yeah, now we have 1 minute to go. Our show will finish. And what would be your, the parting shot, like the good advice you would like to give to the community out there who are still struggling, who do not understand, because not everybody in the same page, you know. Some are good, some is still will take time to heal. I know we have this resilience where we have faced a lot of things more than this, but, you know, this is a different environment. And
My advice is that it will go back to someone which has shared their story by saying we never be in a situation of the COVID-19. What we hear is story of people who leave their country and come and live here. But what we experience in COVID-19, you have something now and suddenly just you lost it. I think that is really very, very important statement. And for New Zealanders, as you all know, we are in this together. Whatever your neighbors is most important to you, you look for yourself and your neighbors, and we will be fine. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. This is the end of the broadcasting. We will come back again on Saturday. So we will have live broadcasting. We have it every Saturday from 4:45 to 5:45 p.m. Every Saturday, same time, tune in, and it will be live broadcasting. And thank you for trusting us. Thank you for tuning in all the time online and live broadcasting. And thank you.
Kia ora, everyone.
We will be back again on Saturday next week. Thank you so much. Kia ora.
Yeah.
same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.planetaudio.org.nz/resetter radio.